know we need them. We certainly need strategies. If we're living, we need strategies, and that's what we do here on Strategies for Living. So are you ready? Are you ready for your daily dose? Your daily dose of radio rehab.
Boy, I am ready.
Yeah?
I hope everyone else is.
Well, ready or not, here we come. Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. And welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan, and she is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan.
That's
and,
right.
You know, Lauren, mm-hmm. if when we look around today, mm-hmm. If there's a lot of things changing in our world,
ooh,
right?
Very rapidly, yeah.
But one of those things, and one of those things that gives people, I think, a lot of issue is the way we view gender today.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
It's an ever-evolving concept and idea, isn't it?
It's constantly changing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you for us old people, I put me in that category, not wow. you, obviously.
Mm.
But for us older folk, mm-hmm. it is sometimes very challenging to keep up. I mean, it's like I want to.
Right.
But it's like I feel like, how do I stay abreast? How do I stay up with, you know, this constant change, especially at the hands of the younger generation, the youngest generation, because gender norms are in this state of flux, mm-hmm. and the rules, the patterns of our society, they're not set in stone.
Nope.
Seems like they used to be. Well, yeah. Where do we turn? You know, I need a map. Mm. I need a roadmap.
Yeah.
Got any ideas?
I think I've got a pretty good life strategist on board for today, hopefully.
Our life strategist today co-wrote a book called Gender Explained, mm-hmm. A New Understanding of Identity in a Gender Creative World. Mm. And this does kind of give, I think, a roadmap for today, and kind of outfits us with gender literacy to better understand how gender is moving and moving freely in this new world. There's a lot of research here. Our life strategist is Dr. Diane Arensaft, and we've got a lot to learn.
We've got a lot to unpack in this hour ahead, but I'm looking forward to it.
We do, and no better person than our life strategist, I think, to help us do that. And so that's what's on taps today. Folks, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being with us here on Strategies for a Living. You know, the thing is, we're all about helping us all grow, stretching us. And that's why we do Strategies for a Living. We appreciate you being here with us, and we appreciate our sponsors that make it possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Learning RX and Pintail Roofing and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. Back in a moment to meet the co-author of Gender Explained, A New Understanding of Identity in a Gender Creative World, Dr. Diane Arensaft, our life strategist here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back. Come back with us.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail. And you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
Tune in daily, find the light, healthy mind and spirits bright, strategies for living strong, feel the vibe, it won't go wrong, body moves and soul align, catch the rhythm, feel the time.
Dose of Radio Rehab. Lift you up when skies seem trapped. Mind and body, spirits free. Living life in harmony.
Hey, welcome in. Welcome in to Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan. David McMillan, let's welcome into the program now Dr. Diane Arensaf. She is a developmental and clinical psychologist. Got a lot of books out there that include The Gender Creative Child and Gender Born, Gender Made. She is the co-founder and director of mental health at the Child and Adolescent Gender Center at the University of California, San Francisco. And she's also an associate professor of pediatrics there, Dr. Diane Arensaf. Welcome into Strategies for Living.
Welcome, yes.
And thank you both for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
So I really, really appreciate you and your co-author, Dr. Michelle Jerkowitz, writing this book. What's the inspiration? What brought the two of you together, and what inspired you to write specifically Gender Explained, Dr. Diane?
Well, there's a story behind it. I myself had an idea for a third book I wanted to write about gender. It wasn't this book. So I pitched it to my publisher, and they said, we really want you to write a book to be able to unpack all the confusion and anxiety and misconceptions about gender that's going on right now, and just say what you know. And so I said, let me think about it. And I put it on the back burner because I don't like to be bossed around. I like to have my own idea of what I'm going to write about.
Publishers will do that.
Yes, I kind of did that, right? So then Michelle, who is a friend and colleague for many, many years of a generation below me, one day after the meeting of one of our gender mental health groups sessions, said to me, Diane, somebody needs to write a book explaining gender to everyone.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that was exactly the book that my publisher said needed to be written. So I said to Michelle, would you like to write that book with me? Hmm. And that's how it happened. And so we thought, having two psychologists from two generations, having both done this work for a long time, but having grown up in different generations with different life experience, would be a perfect combination.
So it's a really unique collaboration, if you will.
Mm-hmm. It was a unique collaboration. It was easy because we had worked together already for so many years, so we knew each other. But it was also a brand new experiment, and it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I learned so much.
How do your different perspectives complement one another, Diane?
That is a very good question. In some ways, we were a bit like Tweedledee D and Tweedledee Dum. Hmm. But I lived more of the historical perspective, going back to being a child born in 1946, mm-hmm. whereas Michelle was born a generation later. So we could, in addition to studying and researching, have a different perspective on youth today, because I'm more removed than Michelle is, right? Mm-hmm. From youth. And she also had a different coming of age experience, both of us having focused on gender in our earlier lives.
How do you, for people who are listening to us who haven't really had a whole lot, except maybe news, what they get through the news and media and that type of thing. How do you define gender identity and gender expression? And is it important to distinguish between those two?
I am so glad you asked that, because it is very important to both distinguish between the two and then bring them together. So gender identity is what your mind or your brain tells you about who you are. I am a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, a non-binary person, a transgender person, whatever it may be who you know yourself to be as a person related right. to your gender. Mm-hmm. That's your identity. Your gender expressions are really what we say, it's how you do your gender.
Right.
It often has to do with the gender rules and roles in your culture. So gender rules, when I was growing up, I had a forced gender expression. I was in Chicago, no matter what the weather, forced to wear dresses to school every day. Hmm. And that was part of my gender expression.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
As soon as I got home, I put on my pants or my jeans so I could play or be warm. Mm-hmm. But as I've grown up, I have a different gender expression than that. But my gender identity has always stayed the same throughout. Mm-hmm. My gender expressions have changed a lot. The reason it's so important is because sometimes when we confuse the two, it goes like this. Somebody is, let's say it's a little boy wearing a dress, which gets our attention.
Right.
And it used to be people would say, oh, he must be gay. Now they'll say, he must be trans. Huh. We don't know.
Right.
Yeah. We just know it's somebody wearing a dress. And then we have to find out from their expressions, identity, who are they?
Yeah.
Is it able to be kind of explained how this gender identity over time is develops?
I'm so glad you asked that. That was the book I was planning to write when my publisher said, write this book. So it's so critical to know that, that it starts the day you're born.
Right.
Typically, somebody looks between your legs who help birth you.
Yeah.
And they put an initial, if you have birth certificates, in our country, we have birth certificates. And usually you get an M or an F, depending on what people see between your legs. And that's called your sex designated at birth.
Right.
For most of us, that's going to match the gender we are, which we won't know the day we're born. But it will be a match.
Right.
And that's called being cisgender. And the majority of people are cisgender.
Okay.
There are some people where it's not a match, where what somebody said based on what's between their legs was about their sex, the chromosomes, but it's not about their gender identity, who I know myself to be. So often you have to be at least a little older than birth. And sometimes it'll begin to show up as early as the first year of life. And you guys, you may have gotten it wrong in terms of my gender. It's different than what's on my birth certificate. And that's being either transgender or gender diverse or gender expansive. And it unfolds from there, and it's a lifetime operation. It's not necessarily set in one moment, but some kids can know as early as 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Hi, guys, this is who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that what we would call gender dysmorphia when they don't match? Or
not
is that
really.
Something greater?
It's actually gender dysphoria, and gender dysphoria is I feel stress about the mismatch between the sex designated at birth and the gender I know myself to be.
Okay.
Sometimes it's also how I do want to do my gender. And sometimes we call that gender dysphoria. That's the clinical definition. Mm. But if we take it out of the clinical realm, it's an area of stress.
Okay.
And it's one that we want to address to get stress down and contentment up.
What are the biggest, the most common, if you will, misconceptions about gender diversity? And how are you addressing that with the book?
There are so many misconceptions right now. And also, I think not misconceptions, but people using the gender changes and expansion around gender as perhaps political leverage right now in our terrain. But I would say that there's the misconceptions are number one, that gender can be nothing else but the sex designated at birth.
Right.
Nothing else is real. It's delusion or illness. I think that's a misconception. The second is, well, maybe an older person may be able to sort out their gender, but a little person can't. They couldn't possibly know their gender when they're little. Except the irony is there is we do expect children to know their gender when they're little,
right?
As long as it's what we call cisgender. And then we say, but you can't if you're transgender. And I think that's a double standard. So that's the second misconception. The third is around how what these children and adolescents need, who basically say, I either have gender dysphoria, gender stress, or I want you all just to listen. I'm not the gender you think I am. And the misconception is that there are a bunch of adults waiting around or other adolescents to groom them, to convince them, to lead them astray like the Donkey Island in Pinocchio, in a path that will take them to either devastation, hell, or some horrible place that we must stop. And that is just a misconception.
So what I'm hearing you say is that we have a lot to learn, if I'm hearing correctly. You know, on a scale of 1 to 100, maybe, I don't know, I'll ask your opinion here, Diane, but it's listening to you. Our understanding level might not even be to 10 yet. So, and we have, so if on a 1 to 100 scale, we have a lot to go. So it's like we're doing this fire ready aim thing with this. Is that, am I hearing you correctly?
You are hearing me very correctly. And I want to say that I've been studying gender since I was an undergraduate in college in the 1960s. And I still have a lot to learn about gender. Yeah. And every time I think I know, I find out what I don't know and what's changing. And we should all remember that.
A lot of fluidity. Yeah. A lot of fluidity. Gender explained, a new understanding of identity in a gender creative world. Dr. Diane Ehrensaft is our life strategist today, and we've got more to learn today right here on Strategies for Living. So don't go away. Stay right where you are. We're learning together here on Strategies. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center.org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
And welcome back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with Dr. Diane Ehrensaft today, co-author with Dr. Michelle Jerkowitz of Gender Explained. This is really an important book, folks. It's a new understanding of identity in a gender creative world. And you can find it wherever you buy books, out from The Experiment, It's the name of the publisher. I like that. The Experiment. And I hope you will. One of the things that I really, really, really appreciate, Diane, that you do is...
You're gonna take my line, aren't you? You're going to talk about the glossary in the front of the book.
Go ahead. Yeah.
We were reading each other's minds.
Yeah.
The few books that I've seen the glossary in the front.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so important. But I think it also kind of lays the stage for how important perhaps language plays, right, in shaping our understanding of the world. But also in our understanding of gender, what would you say about that, Dr. Diane?
I'm sorry, is the question about language?
Yeah,
and gender?
How does having those sets of definitions and the language that we use around it, you know, shape the way we perceive gender?
Such a good question. At certain moments in history, language is particularly important. Around the issue of gender right now, it is, mm-hmm. because it's giving us a new GPS. And I think we're on a pinnacle where we've moved from gender was bedrock with two boxes fixed,
yeah.
to gender is moving boulders. And that really sets us off kilter for anybody who is hyped on bedrock. It's much easier than going across moving boulders. Language helps us be able to think about it, mm-hmm. and get in mind, for example, that there is a difference between the gender identity, who you know yourself to be, and how you want to show your gender to yourself in the mirror, mm-hmm. and out in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same as a third thing, as your sexual identity, which is who you're attracted to. And we often, with language, mush all of them together.
Right.
And then we don't get to really know who a person is.
Yeah.
And I think this is about recognition. And language also to help us make sense of all of this. I learned so much from the kids about some of my outdated language. You know, in fact, a previous book I edited, we had to change the language 3 times in 3 years, a book on gender, because the terms were obsolete by the time publication came.
Wow.
So that's kind of gender fluidity right there in motion.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you help people understand that? How do you help people get their arms around this concept of gender fluidity? And, you know, what a society, what would be your hopes for us as a culture, as a society there?
I would start by saying the only way to start is by acknowledging how anxious this makes all of us feel. I think we're at a point in history where it built over time, like an evolution,
sure.
but then started to feel like a revolution, that, wow, gender is nothing like I was taught when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And there is that change going on, what I call the new zeitgeist of gender. And just in another points in history, when people said the world was round, people said, no, the world is flat. Look out the window. And it made people very anxious.
Right.
We now take it for granted. So if we skip forward to all the different times in history where something like that has happened, the printing press, industrialization, now AI, and now gender, it is a time where we're in that moment that starting with saying, this makes us anxious. It's a whole new way of thinking, and it's going to be okay. And it's actually been around for centuries and centuries. It's not new that there's gender fluidity. It may be new to us.
Yeah. And, of course, we've got to look at this societally and culturally, because the societal expectations, you kind of touched on this earlier, the cultural norms, those are going to impact a person's gender expression, aren't they?
Unless you live in a vacuum, they can't not affect you. One, you may, kind of object to them. but you're still responding to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're still, you're taking them in as an influencer of some kind. So we don't live outside our culture, and culture is very important.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so important now to be thinking about gender, to give the opportunity for everybody to be able to live comfortably in their gender.
Yeah. So, and I think our primary culture is the one within our family. Mm-hmm. You know, if a couple has a successful marriage,
right,
they're forming their own little mini culture, if you will, and then a family. Mm-hmm. And so what's the message that you want families and schools and communities to understand?
How we can foster that inclusivity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's such a good question. I would say we start with, it's pretty easy in most situations, not all, to know what the designated sex of a newborn baby is.
Right.
Yeah. We right now attach that to a gender. Is it a boy or a girl? And we use that as a fixed rating of that child.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we, if we're a parent, if we're a teacher, if we're a clergy person, we begin to shape our understanding of that person's personality based on the sex designated at birth.
Wow.
Right.
And that's a shakeup. Mm-hmm. When you find out, oh, it's different. It's particularly challenging for a parent who always thought they had a girl.
Right.
Until their child says, I'm not a girl. And please don't call me a girl anymore.
Yeah.
So we have to acknowledge that getting gender in focus means being able to shift lenses. Mm-hmm. And that is not easy to do. It isn't. And so that's the work, is to be able to shift lenses.
Yeah. And what I also hear, and I see other people go through, perhaps, you know, when you're in that, can I call it a transition or a recognition, a recognition of the gender? Mm-hmm. Kind of, there's a grief process that has to go on, I think, for people who placed a different perception on the person.
You know what? There is this process of letting go, mm-hmm, of what you thought you had, and there can definitely be grief about that. But I just wanted to also underline,
yeah,
that when children feel their parents are grieving them, mm-hmm, they will wave their hands and say, I'm not dead.
Right.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am the same person. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you something different about my gender. Please don't bury me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look from the inside out into this world that these, you know, that all children are growing up in, what are the challenges that gender diverse children, I guess my question is, we can't know exactly, but what are they feeling that we need to understand? What are they feeling and going through that's important for caregivers and people who want to support them to know?
Such a good question. I think the most important thing to know is what's true for all of us, that we really want to be recognized for who we are and who we're not, for who we're not. And when the latter happens, we feel like we're having a distorted mirror being reflected back to us. And the way to do that is what we call gender acceptance rather than gender aspersion, that what everybody needs, and particularly young children, is to be celebrated, not basically rejected or bullied,
yeah,
for being their unique gender selves. Mm-hmm. And this is the main source of pain for gender diverse people, is non-acceptance,
yeah,
and discrimination.
I'm having a moment where flashing in my mind is a picture of Carl Rogers and unconditional positive regard.
Yeah.
That's what's flashing in my mind at the moment.
It's a perfect image. And I'm having that same image as you flash it for me, and how, for me being trained as a psychologist, how, what I learned from that and how helpful that was. Mm.
Yeah.
And it's not for us to say, but for people to tell who they are and how they know themselves to be.
Let me start with asking a question about parents who want to tune in, who want to be more aware. What do those parents need to look for in terms of signs that a child, Diane, may be exploring their gender identity? And, you know, what are some signs that might show up that, that they need to tune into?
When you're a parent, you are the expert of your child. And I would also say you may have some blind spots for things you don't care to see.
Yeah.
So the important thing is to make sure there's no blinders. They may have a wide scope around gender. And often it starts with your child's gender expressions. So you will see a child perhaps who's not playing by the gender rules. We have gender rules in every culture.
Right.
I haven't found one that doesn't, and they're more expansive or not. But this is for girls, this is for boys, and then we try and break it down. But to just really look at your child and see in the gender world, what messages are they sending you about who they are or how they want to be? And what they want to do, and be open to them rather than closing them down and saying that can't be. And from a parent's point of view, it's a really challenging task, because given that we stamp it's a boy, it's a girl, as soon as they're born, right. If we can, then we already start having dreams for our child. So it's a matter of giving up our dreams to let children have their own, as we do for all child rearing at its best, but it's particularly challenging around gender. So let the children speak, show and tell, and you will learn their gender.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah.
Listen, tune in. The book is Gender Explained, A New Understanding of Identity in a Gender Creative World. Dr. Diane Ehrensaft is co-author along with Michelle Jerkowitz, and she's our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. We're learning a lot. We've got more. Come back with us. Be right back here on Strategies for Living. Dealing with stress, pain, feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's. TheBalancedLife.us. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living here on 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. You shifting in your seat yet? Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, and
that's what we're here to do. We have to stretch in order to grow.
Well, yeah, you gotta shift in your seat a little bit. That's what we're supposed
Learning
to be doing.
Learning happens on the edge of your comfort zone.
Amen. And this is a great book to explore. It's called Gender Explained. It's a new understanding of identity in a gender creative world. Diane Ehrensaft and Michelle Jerkowitz are the authors, and Diane Ehrensaft is with us today here on Strategies for Living. She's our life strategist. Yeah, I know that we have some mental health folks, mental health counselors and professionals that routinely listen to the show. Diana, and so you know, I'm particularly want to know, how can mental health professionals support their clients, their gender diverse clients, particularly the children and young people, even when it might, you know, we're in a very conservative area. So most of our mental health professionals are going to come from a conservative background. So how can we, what's your message to mental health folks?
Here's my message to all of us who are mental health folks. Mm-hmm. Number one, I myself had to unlearn much of what I learned about gender in order to do the work I do now, which is to support any child in living in the gender that's most authentic to them. And that would apply to adults as well. Mm. And to do that, I had to really unpack what I learned, and I had to learn about the harm that is done to people when you legislate what their gender is rather than let them tell you what their gender is. So just the listening skills that we all learn as mental health professionals, yes, are the key feature. And the other is to do what I call exploring our gender ghosts and our gender angels. Hmm. Our gender ghosts are the things we learned ourselves, the values, the messages that tell us that gender beyond two boxes is not right. It's a mental illness. It needs to be cured. And I would say, given our oath to do no harm, those messages do harm children of all genders. Then look at our gender angels. We've all gotten some pretty good messages about gender. So that as mental health professionals, I want to simplify it. Do that self-exploration and let your gender angels drown out the voices of your gender ghosts. Using your mental health skills, you'll have a good go of it and listen to the children.
I bet you have some stories because you work directly with families, with individuals, parents, children. I bet you have some stories.
I have so many stories.
What comes to mind? Share one with us. What comes to mind?
Here is my favorite one from which I learned so much around how to think about this. So this was a child who was in a conservative part of California, and the only daycare program around was through the local church. And in the local church, they basically were teaching the children, certainly, that God made all children in his image. Mm-hmm. And this child had already said at age 4, I am not a boy, I'm a girl, and was living very happily as a little girl. Mm-hmm. So on the way home in the backseat of the car with their twin sibling, they said to their mother, who was sitting in the front, Mommy, this is what we learned in school today, that God made all people in his image. Mm-hmm. So isn't God transgender?
Out of the mouth of babes. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Out of the mouth of babes, yes.
Wow. Hmm. I can see why that's your favorite story. and if we really think about it, and if we really think about it from and try to put ourselves in the child's point of view, which is so important, we can understand, we can begin to have a different understanding that kind of breaks open, if you will. We all have our egos, mm-hmm. which, you know, we here on Strategies, we talk about Diane, we talk about the ego as our container for all the messages and beliefs and stories, you know, that are told to us. And we talk a lot about, hey, let's all unpack that and, you know, look at those words and messages and beliefs and stories. Are they yours or are they from somewhere, you know, somebody else? You know, if they're yours, great. But we really need to break it open and unpack it. So that story illustrates a way to do, you know, the reason to do that, if you will.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I would say it's followed by what we call the ex post facto test. In all my work as a mental health professional, outside working on gender issues, I have never seen such an incredible boost and happiness, contentment, and good mental health when a child is validated in the gender they are, mm-hmm. rather than the gender everybody says they have to be if it doesn't match. Mm-hmm. And it's just remarkable to watch the blossoming.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a couple of minutes left. Is there a most critical aspect of providing affirmation and affirming care for gender diverse individuals? If you're a mental health professional, your clients, if you're a family member, your family member that you love and care for?
I would say use the dictum of my profession, which is do no harm. Mm. And first ask yourself, is there anything that you're doing that might be harmful to the people around you, around gender? You may have different values around that. But I would suggest using the following GPS, which is every person should be able to live in the gender that's most authentic to them, which may not match the sex that they were designated at birth or the rules in their culture, but should be met with acceptance and absent aspersion. And then we have a good go of it, of having a gender healthy world.
Hmm. Well, I tell you this, your collaboration between you and your co-author, I'm so glad that you chose to work together, and the book that came out is this book. And folks, I would ask you to get a copy of this, because I promise you, even if it's not directly in your family or in your classroom, it will be.
Yep.
Or maybe you don't know that it is. The glossary in the front alone, which Lauren mentioned earlier, we were both kind of on the same page there, is, in my opinion, worth the price of the book. Diane Ehrensaft and Michelle Jerkowitz, the book is Gender Explained, and it is a new understanding of identity in a gender creative world. We'll be back here on Strategies for Living in just a moment. Stay with us. You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283, and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living here on 101.7 FM. And 710 Keel. Welcome back to Strategies for Living. Diane Ehrensaft is with us today. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, and Gender Explained is her wonderful book. If you want more info, get the book.
Yes.
But you can also go to Diane's website, DianeEhrensaft.com, and I hope you'll do that.
That's Diane, Ehrensaft.
Glad you've spelled that out. And Michelle's also got a website, right?
Yes, hers is stillwaterpsychotherapy.com, and still, STILL, water psychotherapy.
You got about a minute, Diane. What do you really want people, our listeners, to take away from this conversation today?
What I'd like to remind everybody is that we really are at a shape-shifting point around gender, and we should all give ourselves some breathing space just to know that, mm-hmm. and know that we could feel a bit off balance, but that we can get on balance, and that every single one of us has a gender. So when we just think inside about our own gender and how we got there, it really helps us understand all the people around us, because this is really a time where it takes a village,
yes.
to have gender health and kind of having everybody being able to feel comfortable in the world about their gender.
Yeah. And remember Diane's words, first, do no harm.
Yes.
I think those are very important. Diane, thank you so much for being a great life strategist here on Strategies for Living.
And thank you for your work.
And thank you so much for having me and letting me share the work. And for Michelle, she thanks you as well.
Absolutely. Folks, thank you. Thank you for tuning in, being with us here on Strategies for Living. And we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners. And Learning RX and Pintail Roofing,
roof, roof.
And the Balanced Life Wellness Center. If today were the last day of your life and you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Diane Ehrensaft and for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.